In my sermon this past Sunday, I spoke about the need for repentance in every person's life. That's the non-believer and the believer alike. For the non-believer, it's repentance unto salvation. For the believer, it is a continual process of restoration. But today we're going to look at a problem that is becoming more and more invasive in not just our society, but societies worldwide. The problem is widely embraced by many churches and so-called Christians today. But it is nothing more than a very well-done deception by Satan. That's what we're going to be looking at. But before we get into this, I'd like you to bow your heads and say a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather together in your name here today to study your word, I ask that you just open our hearts and minds for this, Lord, and help us to understand that being bold for you is what we are called to do, standing up for what is right and what is being done in your name, Lord, is our part of our calling. We are to call out wrong when we see it, call out evil when we see it, and stand strong for the truth. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to learn from this message so that what we learn and take away from it, we can actually put into place in our lives to make us a stronger Christian and help us be the light that the world needs us to be. Lord, we ask you to watch over everything that is done here. This message is given in a manner that brings honor and glory to you. We ask all this in your Son's precious name. Amen. Amen. Typically, when I write that introduction for the sermon, I'm trying to explain what's going on. I really feel like I should tell you that there's a good chance I'm going to offend you today. I want you to be aware. I'm going to say stuff today that you're going to say, I can't believe he said that from the pulpit. But I'm going to say it from the pulpit because I'm going to say what God has led me to say. Amen. If it upsets you, I am sorry about that. If you want to talk about it afterwards, I'm willing to sit down and talk to you about it. But be prepared. Some of you all might like it. Some of you all might think I'm outdated. I don't know. It'd be either one. But anyway, I'm going to open up with this admonition from Paul, who was led by the Holy Spirit. It was something that he gave to the church at Galatia. This was a church that Paul founded. This was one of his church plants. But it didn't take long for Satan to come on in, and he started making some changes. They were not drastic changes. They were slight changes. But they had serious consequences. Satan still does this today. Paul was concerned about the direction the church was going all of a sudden. It had veered off path. And he wrote this letter that opens with his authority as a disciple of God, as a messenger of God. He wrote this letter about his ministry and about his motivation. He explains all three reasons this letter is coming out. The problem was dire and the need for change was urgent. Satan had planted preachers and teachers inside this church who taught the gospel, but it had a slight twist to it. Wasn't quite the gospel. They were starting to mix the law in with the grace. They were doing this to appease the society around them. Jews came from a very strict, ritualistic law system. There was freedom in grace, and they were having trouble with it. So they decided they was going to write a message that appealed to the masses. They were more interested in pleasing man than they were pleasing God. And this is what Paul wrote concerning this problem. It's in Galatians 1. It starts in verse 8. It says, but though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. That's what he said. Paul made it abundantly clear there's only one gospel and there's no room for twisting it to fit our whims, our desires, or our society. It's one gospel only. What does this gospel of grace sound like when you mix it with the law? Well, kind of hard to explain every possible instance, but I'm going to give you kind of a simple one. How many of you all have ever heard the saying, God helps those who help themselves? It's not biblical. Sounds biblical, though. It sounds like it's something good. You may be familiar with it, but not only is it not biblical, it's the complete opposite of what the Bible says. It says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God gives strength to the weak. And it is when we are at our weakest, He is at His strongest in our lives. But why do we like this? God helps those who help themselves. Because it satisfies our earthly minds. It makes sense to our earthly minds. That, of course, God's going to help those who help themselves. That's what's going to happen. We need to put some effort into this, and then God will bless what we do. That's kind of this idea. It appeals to our sense of fairness. We don't want God helping people who won't do anything. It's the same problem you run into when you see a person panhandling. Do we give them money? Do we encourage the lifestyle that they have of doing nothing? Or do we encourage them to go get a job? Well, we believe they should probably have a job. The Bible says we should help people. I don't know if you all come down on that wherever you want to. But it's this appealing to our human side that makes this type of other gospel so appealing to people. This is why so many people fall for it, because it makes sense, but only on the human level. False pastors preaching false gospels always use the exact same recipe, the same pattern. They start with God's word. Then they add this mixture of lies, fables, and man's common sense stuff. And that becomes something people want to hear. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Yet a lot of false pastors' message includes the fact that you have to work for your salvation, because it appeals to our idea of good things come to those who not wait, who work. I know what you all were thinking there. You were going to go the other way. It's actually those who work. If you work, if you want something, you work for it, you will achieve it eventually. That's how we are taught, and that is basically a true thing when it comes to the things of this world. But it's not true according to the Bible. It sounds logical. Nothing is free. Hard work is always the key to success. So we apply that to salvation, right? But it's wrong to do so. Salvation is free. You cannot earn your salvation. There is nothing any of us can do to be worthy of being saved by God. We fail Him repeatedly, yet we somehow think that if we do enough good deeds, it will outweigh our bad deeds, and God will save us somehow. And that's the message they teach, because that's what makes people feel good. It's a terrible thing to actually be preaching out there. Satan wants you to think that very thing is true, because that type of thinking, works-based salvation, does not lead to salvation. It never will lead to salvation. Never will. You got to get out of that mindset. But let's talk about a few other things they do. They love to adapt the Bible and the message of the Bible to modern times. So this will quickly expose it as a wolf in sheep's clothing. The Bible is alive. And it's also unchanging. God, the creator of all, is all-knowing. And He knew that society would continue to grow more evil and work harder to undermine His word. He knew that when He wrote it. But His word is timeless. His law is immutable. And He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Nothing changes about God's word. To think that the principles in God's word were based upon society of the time it was written is something Satan wants you to believe. It is not written upon that society and their rules. It had nothing to do with their society and their rules. It had to do with God's rule for our world. That's what it has to do with. When God said that women should not be pastors, that rule still stands. When He said that the gay lifestyle is an abomination, it still is. When Jesus said that He was the only way to the Father, He still is. There's no doubt about any of this. It's what the Bible says. But let's look a little closer at these ideas. Many mainstream denominations have decided that women can be pastors. In order to do this, they had to ignore over 30 verses scattered throughout the Bible. Some are Old Testament verses. And there are even more verses than that when you talk about the God-given role to men and women. We have different roles all the time. False preachers claim that God's word is outdated. You know, I'd really love to be there when they stand before God and try to explain that rationale to Him. I'd like to see what God really has to say about that stupid idea that they came up with. In a Bible study, just, you know, I compared these roles, how we are assigned roles, to how society assigns roles. We do this stuff all the time. If you are really good at saving lives, would we want you to be the janitor at the hospital, or would we want you to be the ER doctor? If you're brave enough to jump in the middle of a forest fire, a helicopter or an airplane, just start fighting that fire from the middle of it, do we want you to be the mechanic? No, we want you to do what you're gifted to do. That's what we expect. We don't expect football players to become great baseball players. A few do here and there. Some are just great athletes. But we expect people to concentrate on what they're good at. We do this all the time. When you go to work, your boss figures out what you're good at. And he puts you on that. That's how it works. Schools do the same thing. They promote you in the things that you are good at. For some reason, though, we think that the roles God has given to men and women should be interchangeable, and they're different. They are not different. I have said for years, if a woman wants to be a firefighter, I'm all for that, as long as she can climb up a 300-foot ladder and put me on her shoulder and carry me back down. That's what I expect a fireman to be able to do. That's not a chauvinistic comment. That's just life. If you're going to do the job, you have to be able to do that job. We shouldn't water down the job to make it palatable to other people. This is what God has given us. Women play a vital role in churches all around the world, and they always have. And they should embrace those rules, and they should serve in those positions faithfully. This is not about who is smarter, who is better. It's about what we are equipped to do. Have you ever been on a job where the boss gives you a task that you are not equipped to do? You know how frustrating that is. You're thinking, why didn't he give it to Bill over here? Because Bill knows all this stuff. Why do I have it? Puts you in an uncomfortable spot. Makes you not the best candidate for that job. God does the exact same thing. It is about who is better equipped for the role that is given to him. They will water this down all the time. Saying Paul hijacked the Bible, or Paul was a chauvinist, or whatever. But it's not just Paul. It is throughout God's Word. When it comes to being gay, look how the world and the church have changed on that one. Our education system, along with mainstream media, have us convinced that there are a multitude, a majority of gay people in America. It's actually about 5%. But you can't watch a TV show or a commercial that doesn't have gay people in it. They want to get that message out. I'll give that community credit. They get their word out. They're very humble. They have convinced us, though, that these people were born this way. And they have no excuse for their choices, so we have to excuse their behavior. Well, then we should apply that to kleptomaniacs. Kleptomaniacs are born that way. That is a mental issue. But we don't say to the kleptomaniac, it's okay, just go on down there to Walmart and steal the big screen TV. We don't do that. We say, you can't steal the big screen TV. Leave it alone. Stealing is against the law. Being gay is against God's law. Just because you think you're born that way doesn't mean you have to act that way. If we all acted on our impulses, we would have anarchy. That's what would happen. But we have pastors today sitting up in churches saying that gay people are born that way, that they have the right to stand here where I stand and preach the gospel to you all. Not possible. We need to stop letting this stuff stand. It goes on all the time. The other gospel preaches that it's okay and that no matter what, we'll work our way around it. God's word became outdated. Society has changed. We need to update it to match society. Well, our society has actually given federal rights to gay people. Civil rights. They are a protected class under civil rights. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Somebody should tell the politicians how stupid it is to give federal protection for a choice. That is a choice. Civil rights should be, I cannot discriminate against a person because of the color of their skin or because of what sex they are. I get that. You couldn't change that until just a few years ago. Now you can change your sex all you want to. You don't even have to do anything. Just say you're something different. And all the rest of us are supposed to accept your insanity. Not how it works in God's Word. God's Word does not give this to you. We are given federal protection to people who made a bad choice in life. And the rest of us have to abide by their bad choice. We have raised an entire generation of people who not only think it's okay and we should accept it, they believe we should endorse it. That's how bad that one's gotten out of hand. We should endorse this sin that is going on everywhere. Any church that embraces women pastors, gay rights, transgender ideology, and this is just a few, it is a counterfeit church preaching a false gospel. Amen. Don't darken their doorway. Don't do that. There are many pastors who decided that the only way to have a profitable church is to publicly endorse that sin. You know what the sad part is? Their message is well received. People love that message. But like I said, what's even sadder is the people who listen to that message, who believe that message, are going straight to hell. You accept God as He is in totality, or you do not accept Him at all. That is God's rule. You can't pick and choose the pieces of God you like and discard the pieces you don't like. That God that you have then is a false God. God is unchangeable. You cannot change Him, so you can't throw out parts and pieces. You accept Him as He is. Is that simple? Rick Warren's church was recently booted out of the Southern Baptist Convention. Why? Because they ordained women pastors. The word we use in the Southern Baptist world is disaffiliated. So we don't affiliate with them anymore. But you know what? That problem was just the end of a really long run of problems. It all started with his stupid book of heresy called A Purpose-Driven Life. Now, that's where I think I might offend somebody, because a lot of people love his book. But they love his book not because it's full of God's wisdom, it's full of man's common sense. They don't compare. You look at Rick Warren's book, you open the Bible, you compare those two side by side, he lied on almost every page. He is not preaching God's word. When I get one, I throw it in the trash. I would recommend every one of you all do the same. You find one, buy it, throw it away. Don't buy it, buy retail. Good Lord, you do not give that man any more money. He already has. But I'm in a thrift shop, throw them away. So Joel Osteen's books, take them and throw them away too. You want to know how you can tell if a pastor is actually giving you a gospel book based on God's word, or if you're given a book based on his opinion and man's opinion? Who's on the cover of the book? You go into a Christian bookstore or any place that sells books, all the stupid books by all these stupid heresy pastors have their picture on the cover. It might as well say 10 easy ways to be like me. Has nothing to do with being like God. You have those books at home? I suggest trash can. Seriously. These are people who want you to follow them, not follow God. And we as Christians sit back and we say, but you know what? Rick Warren, he used scripture in his book. It has Joe Osteen, he uses scripture. He says it'll come back, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. That's a scripture. It must be true. Not in the context he puts it in. It is not true. They all start with that Bible as a base. That's to trick you. But once you find out that it is false, it has to go. I use the example all the time of a kid that I had in my youth group. I spoke about Jehovah's Witnesses being a cult. And he said, you don't know enough about the Jehovah's Witness, call them that. And I said, well, I don't know a whole lot about them, but I can tell you this much. If I'm eating an apple and there's a worm in it, I don't eat the rest of the apple. It's that simple. We throw it out. Once you get to that worm, it's gone. It's all there is to it. Some of you think I'm being way too harsh, but you need to go back and look at verse 8 and 9 where Paul said, let him be accursed. There is no middle ground. There is no compromise. Paul didn't say, well, let me see if he said anything right. If he did, we'll let him go because he was right. He was on the right path for a while. Or let him alone if he is a nice guy. I hear that one in Christian circles quite a bit. But he's such a nice guy. Doesn't matter if he's a nice guy. If he's telling you a lie, he's a liar. He can be a nice liar, I guess, but he's still a liar. Doesn't matter who this is. If they take the gospel message, if they take the word of God as the base of their message, and then they add to it or they subtract from it, it's a false gospel. It's considered the other gospel. If they need to be accursed. So that word accursed, it carries a kind of a meaning like detested there, to be detested there, to be avoided there, to not supposed to have any part of what they are doing. I decided I was going to explain this word detest like certain foods. Everybody has a certain food they will not eat, I'm sure. I can tell you right now, mine is mayonnaise. You put mayonnaise on anything, you can keep it all. We don't have to share your lunch if it's got mayonnaise on it. There's nothing you can do about mayonnaise being a little sandwich. You can wipe it off, but you know what? If you don't like mayonnaise, you can still taste it. It permeates the whole sandwich. You might as well throw the whole sandwich away. You just ruin the whole thing. I don't know who made mayonnaise, but that's another thing. Somebody goes, hey, let's make this stuff and put it on edible food. So it becomes unedible. I don't know who does that stuff. To me, mayonnaise is detestable. If it has mayonnaise, I don't touch it. That's the way these false gospels should be. You come across it, it's detestable. You shouldn't touch it. Don't mess with it. Don't try to pick and shoot. Don't pick the lettuce off because it had mayonnaise on it. And that was the tomato did. No, you throw the whole thing away. That's how that works. As Christians, though, as we find these guys, we should never try to justify their bad gospel by saying there's good stuff in there. We should never accept their message as legitimate just because they're charismatic. Some of the best liars in the world are the most charismatic people in the world. I was talking to somebody the other day, West Virginia has a liars contest, and there's a magazine the state puts out called Golden Seal. You should always buy the one that has the winners of the liars contest because some of the lies they tell are absolutely amazing. It's always about hunting or fishing or finding something or something like that. They're harmless lies, and you know they're lying because they're down to see who can tell the biggest lie. I tell you what, people are very creative at that. They're great storytellers. But just because they're great storytellers doesn't mean you should believe the lie they just told you. Doesn't matter how it was told. Let's go back to what Jesus said in John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That means there's no other way to heaven. Islam does not have a way to heaven. Hinduism does not have a way to heaven. Wicca does not have a way to heaven. Any religion that does not proclaim and teach that faith in Jesus as the crucified and resurrected Son of God does not have a way to heaven. They are considered other gospel. The Mormons don't have it, the Jehovah's Witnesses don't have it, and neither do the Catholics. Did I say I was going to wait to send you all today? Again, I know you think I'm being too harsh, but the reality is that I am telling you the truth. But you've been conditioned not to hurt people's feelings. You've been conditioned not to say harsh truth to people because we don't want them to get hurt. Anybody needs a little safe spot? I'm sure we got some chalk downstairs. You can go out in the parking lot and draw a little circle around yourself. You can stand there. Well, it'll be nice to you while you're in your little safe zone. The truth is, these are false gospels. These are false gospels. We need to speak out on this. The willingness not to call out fake gospels is actually failure on the Christian's part. Plato said, well, let's quote Plato in my gospel message. Another gospel about Plato. But he had a nice little saying. He said, to be sure I must, and therefore I may assume that your silence gives consent. That's what people believe. Your silence gives consent. If the truth of God's word offends, then be offended. That's all I can tell you. Because I will not stop speaking His truth. When you get to heaven, you'll have all eternity, though, to rest and think about the fact that all those people that went to hell around you because you didn't want to offend them at least went to hell liking you. That's what will happen. You'll like them all the way into hell. You can love people all the way into hell by not being willing to tell them the truth. You'll have all eternity to think about that. Is that where you want to be? Probably not. You should think about that now before it's too late. You can't be afraid to speak up for God and His truth. We need to stop pretending that false religions and false denominations are okay because there are good people in them. Right? We all know that the road to hell is paved with good intentions, and that's what these people have. They are well-meaning, probably God-fearing people who've just been misled by a false pastor, a false teacher. Most of these guys, false pastors and false teachers, they do it on purpose. It's on purpose. There's a plan behind their whole thing. It's about attendance. It's about money. It's about popularity. It's about fame. They want to be famous. The truth is, Islam is not a peaceful religion. It is a warmongering religion. Islamic terrorists are not the extremists in the group. They are a group. The Quran clearly says, convert the infidel, which is you, by the way. If you're not Islamic, if you're not a Muslim, you're an infidel. Either convert you or kill you. That's the only options there are. Don't let them fool you. They come to America today under the guise of peace, and they want to convince you that their religion is a peace-loving religion and they're peace-loving people. They are until they are the majority. Once they become the majority and they can start controlling, they're going to start controlling. I'm going to take a guess. I'm going to step out on a limb. I'm going to say the people who cut your head off for being a Christian in the tribulation will be Muslims. They already do it. They would love to do it more. They hate Christians. Don't be fooled by them. Call them out. Just tell them point blank, your religion does not lead you to heaven. They claim the God of Abraham, because they actually come from Abraham. Abraham and Sarah's sin of not waiting for God to fulfill his prophecy about a child wound up with Ishmael, and Ishmael became the father of all of them. That's where they came from. They claim the God of Abraham. They don't follow the God of Abraham, not in the slightest. But they'll claim it. Their Quran talks about Jesus as a prophet, not as the Son of God. Muhammad and his warped, probably drug-addled ideas that he had has corrupted a whole bunch of them into where they now go worship at his grave. Can't worship at Jesus' grave, can you? There's a reason for that. He rose out of his. Muhammad was just a man. He was an ignorant man with stupid ideas who's misled a ton of people. And he's taught them to kill you. He's buried. Hindus, I mentioned to him, they have a God for everything. They do. There's another religion very close to this, but there's a God of the tree, there's a God of the plant, there's a God of the flower, there's a God of the cloud, God of the rain, there's a God of everything. You want to pray to a God? That tree might have a thousand of them right there. You go out there and pray to all thousand at one time. You want to. It's called pantheism, multiple gods, multiple gods. That is not a one-way path to heaven. Pray whatever you want, and you'll get there. That's their idea. That's stupid as can be. Catholics teach that the way to heaven is through Mary and through their saints. Very similar. Very similar. It's almost like having a God for everything. I went over this in a Bible study. I had a list about 14 pages long of all the saints they have. If you've lost your keys, there's a saint. If you're a bricklayer, you have a saint. If you're a pipe fitter, you have a saint. If you're a pastor, you have a saint. Or a priest, you have a saint. Everybody has their own saint. You don't go to God unless you have something major. You're not allowed to pray to Jesus. You have to pray to Mary. Now, Mary's a great woman. I'm not taking away from Mary. God chose her, obviously, out of every woman to ever live. She's got to be a special lady, no doubt about it. But I got some news for you. She's dead. She can't hear you. She's dead. Peter, dead. Can't hear you either. St. Francis of Assisi, can't hear you. Whoever it is helps you find your car keys. You say, oh, please, Saint, I lost my car keys, Saint. Help me find my car keys. He can't hear you either. They can't hear you. Why would you pray to them? Well, Satan wants you to pray to things like that because you're not praying to God. And if you're not praying to God, you're not growing closer to God. So let's call out the false religions as they are. This is how it works. It's all the time. Some of these saints these people pray to may actually be in the presence of God. Some of them may be in hell. Your salvation is between you and God. I can take a guess on whether you're saved or not. It has no bearing on whether you really are. We don't know what these people were like. We know some of their public works. We don't know their private lives so well. But even if they're in the presence of God, they're not listening to you. They don't have that ability. You go to funerals and people say, oh, you know, poor Aunt Mary, she's up there looking down on you from heaven. I sure hope she isn't. How wonderful would it be to go to heaven and you spend all the time waiting on all your loved ones to die, watching them make stupid mistake after stupid mistake? Wouldn't that just be exciting? No. You're not worried about what's going on earth. You don't even know time has moved on. You're in the presence of God. You're worshiping God. That's what you're doing. So you can pray to poor Aunt Mary to help her find your car keys. You're not a family. She's not going to hear you either. You'll have the same effect. You might as well pray to her as a saint, because it's all the same. These people are dead. You don't pray to the dead. The Bible is pretty clear. You do not talk to the dead. So stop praying to them if you're a Catholic out there. I don't know. The early church was referred to as the way, meaning they followed only one way to heaven. That was Jesus Christ. He was the only way. That's called the way. The term Christian came about shortly after that. It was an insult that was hurled at him by Jews, calling them Christians, meaning Christ followers. And it was said as a slur, you are one of those Christ followers. That's what it means. The Christians go, you know, we kind of like that term. We'll just keep it. And we took it, and we have it now, and that's what we call those people who follow Jesus. It's not called the way. We're not followers of the way. We are Christians. We are Christ followers. Any pastor, a denomination, or religion that preaches anything different than what the Bible teaches is a different gospel and deserves to be accursed. Their goal is no longer to inform people the right way of believing. That's not their goal. It is to reinforce their wrong beliefs. That's what they do. People do not want to hear the truth. They want to hear their opinion coming out of their pastor's mouth. That's what they want to hear. Pandering to the whims of the world does not make a great church, even though it will make a great big church. It won't make a great church. It'll be a very weak church. Paul, in his farewell to the church at Ephesus, gave us a warning that still rings true today, and this is found in Acts 20, verse 29 and 30. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. But verse 30 is the one that is the warning. Also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. So we expect the world to be evil. We can be on the lookout for the evil person who walks into the church trying to preach a different gospel. But when the person is raised right here among us, and then he steps up here, and then he starts changing, that's where it's a little harder. Because then we go back, oh, he was such a nice kid growing up. He was such a nice guy. He helped me unload my groceries one day. Still a false gospel. Still deserves to be accursed. It happens that way. It happened in the early church. It still happens today. Pastors are more interested in personal glory than God's glory. And they live their life doing it that way. So I'm asking you, as members of the body of Christ, not of this church, but the body of Christ, stand strong against that darkness and be fearless in calling out false gospel preached by others. Warn people so they had a chance to get it right. And so the world knows there's a difference between the truth of God and what is being peddled by these so-called pastors. Yeah. We're warned of the very time we're living in right now. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. This is what you see in many of the churches today. They're afraid to teach the gospel for fear the crowd will turn away from them. And they'll lose their big fat paychecks and their fancy buildings and everything else they try to build up. Because it's everywhere. If you think about it, you probably never would have submitted to the Lord if somebody hadn't told you the truth. If somebody came up and said, you know what, I know that you're doing wrong and all, but God loves you anyway. Hope you have a good day. Would you have submitted? Or if somebody came up and said, you know what you're doing? Yes, God's word. You need to think about your relationship with God. That's what convicts people. Patting them on the back and giving them a brownie or a lollipop and sending them home doesn't make any sense to me. Would there have been any conviction of sin in your life if it wasn't for somebody telling you the truth? Nobody likes to be told they do not measure up to God's standards or that their good works count for nothing when it comes to salvation. We like to think it does. That type of message offends people, but it is the only one they need to hear. That's the truth of the matter. So we need to be the message bearer that leads people to the Lord before it is too late. Speak the truth. So some things you can take away. There is only one gospel, and there is no twist in it to fit our whims, our desires, or our society. And God's word is timeless. His law is immutable, which means unchangeable. And he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And it doesn't matter if a person uses the gospel as a base, which they add to it or take away from, they are to be accursed. It is that simple. There's no difference. Doesn't matter who they are. All right. Bow your heads.